Freedom is one of my core five values. It's also one of my top two values. I like to be aware of which of my values are, rising to the top in the season I'm in. Years ago, even I wrote a blog post about how my whole life has felt like a journey to freedom. As a personal value, what freedom means to me or to you as individuals can vary season to season, obviously person to person and season to season. It needs to be personal and precise. So a word is just a word until we attach meaning to it. We need to reevaluate and reorient on occasion for it to be a meaningful source of direction or a meaningful filter. And I've shared before how I use my core values as my primary filter for all decision making in my life. So in this season, as I prepare and I write the module for the spring session of the Brave and Beautiful community, I've been thinking about freedom. And in part because the sub theme of our work in this session will be a movement toward freedom. And also, just because there have been things popping up in my life asking for attention, and I want more freedom in these areas. And and I'll speak to it, that a little bit more. But some of the questions I'm asking myself are, what does freedom look, sound, and feel like for me in this current season of my life? How am I practicing freedom? How am I walking it out in concrete ways? Where am I not in freedom? What precisely is interfering? Where am I holding on to old stories, habits, feelings that pull me out of freedom throughout the day? So welcome. I'm Krista O'Reilly Davidegee, founder of alifeinprogress.ca and rebrandingmiddleage.com. I offer my work as a writer, grief and trauma-informed mind-body coach, and joyful living educator. And my work centers on the needs and experiences of midlife women. My work more broadly is for freedom seekers, truth tellers, and stubborn questioners, highly sensitive souls, slow movers, and non-hustlers. The anxious, grieving, weary, and healing, reforming people pleasers, perfectionists, performers, and peacekeepers, and brave, messy, curious humans ready to quiet the conditioning and noise to reclaim freedom, wholeness, and joy. I'm glad you're here. So, as I think about freedom for myself and what does that mean precisely, I orient myself in the season that I am in. And that could be seasons plural, but one of the primary seasons that impact my energetic capacity, just like my energy is a big factor, but also kind of where my focus goes, what type of healing work I need to attend to, etc. Is the life se or the season that I'm in my life cycle. So anyway, I am in my second spring. So and I'm going to be more precise just because if it interests you, then you start to kind of get a feel for what the heck I'm talking about. But I kind of bring this up often. I am 52, turning 53 in the summer. I am post-menopause, and about 15 months ago, I knew in my body that I had stepped over the line from winter into my second spring season of life. And now, so in this framework, we kind of do one circle around all four seasons, and then we begin again, and we kind of head through the seasons again, summer, spring, summer, autumn, and then our final winter, which is the end of life. So I orient myself here because there are characteristics that tend to show up for, I think it might be fair to say most of us, but at least many of us in each season. So there are some commonalities, and it can be really helpful to have a sense of what those are, so that we resist less and embrace more, so that we don't feel we're somehow wrong or something's wrong with us. And instead, we just realize, oh, this is just part of the work of this season. So in my framework, in my way of practicing seasonal living, springtime is a time of, in part, tending to our roots. It is a time of building or rebuilding safety, security, and stability in our life. And that is that sort of imp not impacts, but that gosh, what is the word I'm looking for? It's like that flows through all these different areas of life. So it impacts our relationships. We're looking at financial security and stability. We're looking often at work, home life, and our relationships. So there's some real key things here that often need our attention in this season, in spring seasons of life. Now, I also, as I move through the year and I'm in spring on a smaller scale, I'm using spring to attend to some of these things as well. So I'm looking at, updating, I get my taxes done, I update my spending plan, savings plan, for work and personal life. I'm shoring up boundary leaks. I'm looking at systems or any like energetic leaks, things I could just make automate or simplify or reduce or whatever in my life. So I orient, and I know that because I am in this early second spring season of my life and I'm tending to my roots, I'm building safety, security, and stability as I recalibrate energetically and emotionally from a long winter season. And then all and part of that, a key part of that is relationships. And I'm also, this is also a time in second spring where we can turn towards and heal or repair as needed old wounds from our first spring season of life. So you could say the same for any season. Like, if you're in a winter season, of grief, say, often when we have an experience of grief, completely unrelated, like it could be your mom dies, but old wounds often will start rising to the surface unbidden. So there is this tendency that I guess it's like there's this sort of theme almost of work happening in our lives, and it can open up space for some old things to rise to the surface, asking for attention, sometimes just asking for some compassion or witnessing or mending. And in some cases, there's some deeper healing work that needs to be attended to. So we're talking about freedom, and I've mentioned some of the key areas of life that we might be looking at addressing in spring. Now, you might not be in second spring, right? You might be in a completely different season. But if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, at the very least, you're in spring in the year's cycle. But that doesn't actually matter. The point here was that I orient myself first because that influences what I'm looking for. So I'm talking here about freedom. I'm listening. What do I need to attend to? Where am I in freedom? Where am I not in freedom? And you can do the same for yourself, but it's helpful if you orient yourself first. So that's like a way of being honest about what are the kind of dominant characteristics of this season that you are currently in. Okay, so then, as I was reflecting and listening and just taking some notes, I jotted down some of the responses that came up to those earlier questions that I shared just at the introduction of this episode. This was random, but I happened to just sort of come up with one, two, three, four, I think six categories, kind of life categories but that, that's arbitrary. You could, if you want to practice this and give it a try and just see kind of what comes up for you, you could just choose your own kind of six, seven, eight life categories. And in each one, check in and just say, am I in freedom? Am I out of alignment? Am I, what, and is there anything here that I've been ignoring or that's been, calling for my attention? So I came up with three or four, well, in some cases more, but like, let's just say four-ish per category. And again, that's just what came up for me. You might notice that there's like one thing that's jumping out at you. So anytime we do this type of listening, and we just show up with curiosity, and in a sense, it's like we set an intention, like, what am I looking for? Whenever we set an intention for something, we start to see things. It's not magic, but it's just that that's where our conscious awareness starts to go. And if we can quiet the noise enough, then often we also get these kind of breakthroughs of inner wisdom, or even from like from the unconscious part of us, that deep wise part that needs some, often for most of us, I think, some quiet and space to be able to be heard. And that's often where we get this like deep truth telling arise, or even awareness of an old wound that needs to be attended to, or a pattern that we weren't conscious of a moment ago. Okay, so a quick example from my own personal life that I don't know if I shared, but it's relevant to this conversation and freedom in my relationships in this season, is that sometime in the past few months, well, I had been doing some work late, in the last like 3 to 5-ish months, I think, on an abandonment wound. And I wasn't looking for this. I wasn't conscious of it per se. But because I had, in a sense, my focus was going to that place of tending to my roots and wanting to heal up these old wounds in terms of relationships in my life and my patterns, and the often we see repeated patterns show up. Or if you see a repeated pattern in your life and you feel hurt, and it can seem like other people are doing this to me. But for me, it's like, okay, but if it keeps showing up for me, then I'm part of the pattern, right? It's not enough to just say, oh, they keep doing this thing. It's like, hey, but what am I doing? Like, what's going on in me? So anyways, long story short, something bubbled up one day, and it was around just like sudden and strong, and I could see how much I had been parenting from a place of fear and control in with my daughters, because my son had died. Not control as in it wasn't overt, but I could see it in all the sneaky ways, or in even in my anxiety, and and just like, I won't go into all the details, but I could see it. I knew it was true. And I also knew that it was time to choose a new pattern, time to step into more freedom in this area of my life, in this relationship with my girls. So that's just one little example. But anyway, so I chose six categories. I'll just say them real quick. The ones that I chose, again, use them or don't. I chose my past, my healing, emotional well-being, expansion. Number three, stuff, external measures of success and finances. Number four, relationship with self and others. Number five, mind, body, health. And number six, what drives, inspires, and motivates me. And so I was just, taking notes. And often what I do when I'm really kind of listening and I know that there's something significant that needs to be heard, or, I know it's going to be some of the important work of this season, or even just this year, I will give the time, take notes, etc., and then walk away and come back and walk away. Like I'll do that a few times because when we walk away from the work, there's still all this stuff happening inside, and then we'll get these like hits of wisdom or insight rise, and then ideally we capture that. Okay, so what I thought here is that I'll just share a few of the things, or some of the things that have come up for me. I won't bog you down with all the stuff, but this will be one of the just one of the exercises that I will encourage members of the Brave and Beautiful community to test out if it feels meaningful to them. And then we'll talk more about our details there. So for my past, and I guess I want to say here is that I always love hearing and learning from other people when they just share their experience or they share what they're doing and why. Not like you should be doing this too because it works for me. But just share, like I love learning from other people, like their experiences, and not at all to override my own wisdom, because I'm a very intuitive person, very internally driven. And there have been times where in my insecurity, I've leaned more towards like trying to gobble up everybody else's thoughts and ideas. That has been true for me, but I'm, pretty conscious of that and boundaried around that. But that's very different from just enjoying being in relationship with people or learning from other people's wisdom. That's part of community, I believe. That's part of being in circle with people and yeah, just gleaning from the experience and wisdom of other people. So anyways, that's more my intention. And like anything I share is offered as a spark of possibility for you, curiosity, something you could explore, test out for yourself, So anyway, here we go. In my past, one of the things that for the past year or maybe 15 months now that has been really at the forefront, and again, I'm going to try to, this is all focusing on primarily freedom and relationships, but there's also some financial stuff there, other little things, but primarily what I'm concerned with right now is freedom in my relationships. So over this past 12 to 15 months, I've been really consciously working at forgiveness, releasing my family members, certain family members, from the pain I have experienced because I was not supported after the death of my son in the way that I needed or wanted. It caused a lot of pain. And I won't go, too much into that because the point here is that I was carrying unforgiveness in my body, and it was hurting me. It was one of the things that was keeping me trapped. Like, I want to thrive forward. And I want to be free. I want to be light. I want to be open to what's next. And unforgiveness was anchoring me in a way that wasn't serving me. It was certainly wasn't serving anybody, but it was hard work. So I did a lot of work around that, and mostly I just practiced, I just released and forgave. I owned my feelings. I grumbled aloud, hashed things out for myself sometimes, but then I would just come back to my choice to release, release, release. And with practice, it got easier and easier, and it's less, way less often now, but once in a while, I'll still notice the old pain begin to arise and I can turn towards it and hear it, and then release again. And so I feel like what I was doing, even though they didn't know, was freeing them from my expectations, unmet expectations. And it's interesting that, this is something that happens in our relationships a lot, is that we hold people to a standard that they don't even know about, or we hold them to an expectation that they may or may not even be capable of meeting because of what else is going on in their life, you know? And maybe they don't want to meet it too. Like, that's also their choice. But it can be a humbling and painful, but then ultimately freeing experience to truth tell around this. And then if we're, you know, we feel compelled to do so, to just keep forgiving or releasing. Forgiveness for self can be a really big part of this as well. But yeah, that's what I'm going to say. And oh yeah, actually, okay, so another point here, letting go of the past or the old season. And so we can have guilt or regret about things from the past, and it can be really, really tricky. And sometimes people online will offer up their experiences or ask questions around this when I talk about loving ourselves well, releasing ourselves, you know, self-compassion, et cetera. And they're like, but what if I really did do something bad, et cetera? And like, short and sweet, my response is, but bullying yourself doesn't change anything. It doesn't improve the future. It doesn't mend, it doesn't cause repair. It just keeps you stuck in your misery. And honestly, that's easier than owning your bullshit or owning your mistakes and making repair where possible. Okay, so here though, I'm not talking about anything bad I did, but I lost a child. And, you know, any mother I know who, or frankly, any parent that I know whose child has died by suicide, there's this guilt that we have to deal with. Like, our brain, we feel like our primary directive in life is you keep your children safe and alive. And if you didn't do that, you know, the story is you failed. And obviously, it's a very painful story. And so it's an ongoing thing of, you know, years. And I'm in a really good place now, but there's still remnants where I can see every imperfection. Every time I'm like, why did I say that? Why did I do, you know, it's like you could just beat yourself up for anything. And these are the things that, like, any other really wonderful, committed parent, you're just living your life. You're imperfect. Like, and it's not even always about imperfection. It's just about, you know, you're just doing life. You don't know your child's going to die. You don't know that one day you're going to look back and go over every single word and interaction with a fine-tooth comb looking for evidence that you failed, right? Like, so, and you shouldn't live like that. Please don't live like that. But it's a thing that can happen with this type of trauma. And so it's just ongoing work to forgive myself, for to also, though, to recognize that the past is done. It no longer exists. There is no going back. There are no redos. There's no way to change the reality of what I have lived, you know, and experienced. And all that does is keep me trapped. That is not freedom. And so you may not have that type of experience, but sometimes we get stuck in the beautiful seasons, even like raising our kids and the nesting and all that season of life where we maybe really loved it and now we miss it because the kids are gone and older and blah, blah, blah. And we can end up trapped in the past if we will not release. So there's incredible freedom in the naming that yes, it was good, or yes, it was a messy tangle of beauty and pain, and it's over now. I'm grateful that I got to live that, and now it's over, and I want to live open to what's next. Okay, this is going to take too much time if I say too much about each point. So maybe I'll just say one thing for each. So, my healing, emotional well-being, and expansion. Let's see. Okay, well, one thing that I've been sharing often, I think, in my hope app and in my community and maybe even with clients, is this question: how good am I willing to let myself feel? I believe that I took that question from a Gay Hendricks book, The Big Leap, but I'm not certain. But I think so, or maybe that's just a variation on that. But it's a question that is really helpful for me in this season. How good am I willing to let myself feel? In previous episodes, I'm way back at the beginning, I may have shared how learning how to allow joy into my life after the death of my son was would send me right into a panic attack and dissociation. And again, like that's an extreme example of where it feels wrong to allow joy into our lives or our bodies. But we do this on many levels. We feel guilt. So not only survivor guilt, but also guilt because there's suffering in the world. How dare I feel safe? How dare I feel good? How dare I allow myself to just be happy? And it's human. Obviously, it's a real common human thing, like for compassionate, empathetic beings. But who is it serving? It's not serving the people who are hungry. It's not serving the people living in bombed out cities. And what I think it does is it shuts us down. It pulls us out of freedom and joy, out of commission. And what I believe to be true is that when we fill up, I've said this so many times, when we fill up, when we replenish, when we tend to our health, when we, care for ourselves, we fill up and then we have the capacity to also pour out beautiful things, helpful things, hopeful things into the world. But wherever this thing comes from, I'm not sure. But it makes me curious, why do we, so many of us, live with this story that I shouldn't let myself feel good? Like, I know that there's the story of, but what if something bad happens around the bend? It's safer in a way to not let yourself feel good. That's one story over there. But there's this other thing where it's like we don't feel worthy of it. And anyway, in my life, that's a place of ongoing freedom work. When I allow myself to feel good, to hold and sustain joy, to savor the beauty of my life, etc., without quickly letting it all go, or rejecting it. And so a thought that comes up here is we do that with money sometimes. As soon as money comes in, we let it go, we pour it out, or we lose it. It could be a compliment where we deflect and we don't receive it. So, this could be a place where you could inquire for yourself how it might show up. But how good am I willing to let myself feel is that question I'm asking myself daily, I believe. Yeah, because I want to be in freedom here. And then I know confidently, 100%, that the more that I do this, the more I am able to love and serve from a healthy place. Okay, in terms of the category of stuff, external measures of success and finances, this past year, 12 to 15 months, again, part of my tending to my roots work has been writing a new money story for my life. This has been interesting work and really good. And there's been some really positive shifts, and I look forward to more. But it's interesting. So I've been moving, consciously doing the work to notice my patterns, notice my stories, notice where I have put a cap on myself in terms of earning. It can also be that guilt story again, like when there's so much need in the world, like I shouldn't want more. And again, ludicrous because my husband's family is in West Africa. They could use more money. they could use our help. You know, I want to live generously. I want to pour out. And I've heard some people say, and this isn't an argument for any particular number. Like, I'm not interested in that for people. That's up to you. That's, you know, your business. It's about believing that we shouldn't receive, that our needs, like, why shouldn't I have my needs met and be able to live generously? Why? Who says? Where does that come from? What's my enough amount? How did I arrive there? Like, often there's these, I believe there are some family of origin stories, and it could just be as simple as like what modeling we received and also how we grew up. So I grew up in a family that was very generous, certainly, but I think we were poor, to be honest. Like, my husband and I were talking about it. We never said that. I didn't think I was poor. So, but just like looking at the numbers, I'm like, yeah, raising 12 kids on one salary and this, you know, it's like, yeah, I started working really, really young, and by the time I was 14, I was buying all of my, beyond like food and shelter, just I was buying everything for myself. So, anyway, so they were very generous, but they weren't, my parents weren't people who, and I can't ask them, so that I can only observe, but they were people who poured out, and I don't think they maybe allowed themselves or believed that it was okay for them to hold anything. The value was give, 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 till you run dry. That's what it seems to me. Anyway, but so it's interesting. We can look there, and then we can also look even further back at generational stuff and see, you know, even seven generations back, like what was happening in our grandparents, great grandparents' lives. We often see the stories of poverty, war, etc. And it makes a lot of sense sometimes when we can trace some of that stuff back even a couple generations and just realize, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And I'm grateful for the work of those who came before me. And also, I'm in a new season now. Okay, so one other thing that I'll share here that is actually really, 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 really challenging for me is permission to want more, shame and guilt free. This is hard to say. And I won't even talk about the particulars because, again, my wants, I don't think they're that big. But again, we all have our own stuff. But one of the things that I want is to leave a legacy of financial strength and stability for my daughters. I want that for them. And I'm just going to leave that there. But this is one of the things where I continue to do my own freedom work. Relationship with self and others. So I've got some real, I'm not going to talk about the particulars live on air, but there are some relationships in my life that are causing stress. And there is, I think, some dysfunction in some cases, or one case at least. And I'm trying to, I'm committed to doing the work of getting honest, seeing my own kind of dysfunctional ways of showing up, or even trauma patterns in relationships. But also, you know, it's hard without being particular, but also I refuse to abandon myself. So there's just, it's complicated, and I'm going to unpick and unravel over the next few months and get some more clarity on a couple key relationships in my life. One of the things that has been really helpful in terms of relationships, though, and freedom is staying out of other people's drama or storylines. And I love this topic, and I've talked about it more with my clients and stuff, but I'll just say here that we do not have to get sucked into other people's drama or their conflict styles. So we all have a social stance. It's called a social stance in the Enneagram, but you don't have to know the Enneagram. Or you could think of it as a conflict style. And those three styles, really briefly, I did want to mention this here. Again, we'll go more deeply into this in the B&B community in case you're interested. They are, okay, so again, three styles. I'm just going to give you a snippet of information for each, but you could think about which one sounds most familiar to you. And you might show up differently depending on the situation, on the relationship, but you might also be able to see, for instance, this is your pattern and this is your spouse's pattern. And you can start to see, oh my gosh, that's why I behave this way. That's why he behaves this way or she. That's why there's tension here or misunderstanding. Okay, so the first one is towards, compliant, appease, or fawn in conflict. So this is where our pattern in conflict is to move towards pressure. If we have this response, we feel safer if we fix, appease, or, mend, make, bring peace back. And if we have that pattern, we might self-abandon on a regular basis. Like, okay, so number two, if you do know the Enneagram, then the types that tend to have this pattern are Enneagram 1, 2, and 6. Now, that's not across the board necessarily. And also, we can learn a new pattern, just like any other ingrained or instinctual behavioral pattern. We learned it. It served us for a while in some capacity, and we do not have to continue that pattern. So the second social stance or conflict style here is away, withdraw, or avoidant in conflict. The types who tend to prefer this pattern or response are Enneagram 4, 5, 9. A person with this response has a tendency to move away, withdraw, avoid, or flee when conflict or pressure arises. The third type is against, aggressive, or assertive in conflict. Enneagram type 7, 8, 3 tend to prefer this response. This response can look like pushback on conflict or pressure. It can look like amplifying the conflict, defensiveness, or automatic defiance. Now, in one of the relationships that need attention in my life that I've already referred to, I could see this playing out that I've learned, well, I have my own stuff to work on. But I have learned to what I really try to do, and I have a lot to learn. And thank goodness I have years ahead of me. But what I really work on hard is pause. Pause between impulse and response. Sometimes that pause needs to be 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, whatever. Sometimes we need to create larger spaces before it to be wise and not make a rash decision or one from hurt or whatever when we're talking about relationships. Or anything else, frankly. But I could see that this person had this against aggressive, assertive stance. And so they will try to amplify the conflict, poke at you, get a response. Like it was interesting to see it playing out. And the more that I refused to engage, the more that they got aggressive. It's not a judgment on them, by the way. And it's just interesting that the more we do our own work, self-awareness work, healing work, whatever, we can stay a bit more embodied and in integrity, whatever the situation, and it can help us see other people in their own stories, in their own patterns. And again, it's not like a superior thing because when the more that we are self-aware and doing our healing work, the more we take responsibility for our own monkey business. So, but anyways, it was interesting. And then I could notice my own response to that aggressive stance, et cetera. Okay, so that's one of the things that I'm working on right now for more freedom in my relationships, staying out of other people's drama and not getting sucked into their default conflict style, stay in integrity. In terms of mind body health, I have come so far And I am so grateful and so proud of myself because I have learned how to rest again. It took me a lot of work and I had to relearn safety and rest. And it was only last summer that I had a realization one day, like, oh my gosh, I did it. But then there was another level last fall, this past fall, like, so not that many months ago, where I noticed that I could be in silence a lot more without anxiety or my brain looping in unhelpful ways. And that's another form of rest. So it's a beautiful thing. And I'm just practicing, practicing, practicing. And boy, there is freedom in that. My goodness. A tiny little offshoot of that, which has been interesting, is that because I'm not filling my mind with other people's thoughts, like needing noise on podcasts, et cetera, and I have more silence, I'm also just enjoying fiction again. And I'm just not excited at all about reading nonfiction right now, which I devoured for like decades. And right now it just feels like I don't need other people's input. I know what I'm about. I know what I'm focused on. I know what work is in front of me. And when I'm reading right now, I just want it to be about rest and pleasure. So that's been fun and interesting and definitely freeing. And finally, the category that I chose called What Drives, Inspires, or Motivates Me. So, one of the things that I am driven by is, I talk about it constantly, but my values and vision. So I'm really clear on my core values. I use them as a key filter all the time, just like I'm doing right now. And I have a vision for my life. I hold that vision loosely. I don't get too attached to particulars, and things I can't control, but it's a longer term vision where I have a sense of where I'm heading. I can kind of see, who and how I want to be in the world, et cetera. I don't see the fullness of it because I'm not there yet. I haven't even grown into that season of my life. So I don't try to, picture every single detail, but I have a sense of always of where I'm heading and what I want to focus on, what I want to prioritize. And that's really, really inspiring and helpful and hopeful. And then I want to be joy-filled and overflowing. And that's one of my mind, body, spirit intentions for this year, my 52nd year. And it too has taken so much freedom work to get to this place where it wasn't just aspirational, but I'm living it. I'm in awe. I am in awe. I know the depth of despair that I've walked through, and the bravery and the persistence and the hard work and the determination and the love, love for me, love for my family, love for my son that has continued to inspire me to get up every day and to keep moving. And there is, I started by saying, like, I wrote that post years ago that my whole life has been a journey to freedom. And today, though, I have a lot of learning to do, a lot of healing, a lot of stretching, because that is part of my choice in life to show up this way, curious and growth-minded, and it excites me and keeps me healthy. But I am walking in freedom. I'm going to keep walking in freedom and more freedom and deeper freedom, but I am, and I'm joy-filled, and I believe that I'm joy-filled and overflowing. And I'm going to hold on to that and keep practicing that because that is a beautiful way of walking in freedom. Imperfect action. Two possible ideas. If you're interested, one would be just go back to those conflict styles and get curious about your own and kind of scan in your own relationships and see where this might help you walk in greater freedom. And you could get super specific and home in on one relationship or even one pattern in that particular relationship. So sometimes getting uber specific helps us see what's happening, and then we can start going broader from there. Or another option would be just kind of mind map your own life categories and make some space to check in. Ask yourself those questions I asked in the beginning around, where am I in freedom? Where am I not in freedom, et cetera, and see what comes up for you. My invitation to you today is to join me inside the Brave and Beautiful community for spring session. We begin April 15th. Our first call as a group is on April 17th. There are 9 spaces left, and I would love to fill every single one of them. I cap the group at 50 women so that I know your story. You are an important member. You're not lost in a crowd. And you can read about the impact of the B&B by reading current members' words, like read it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Go over to alifeinprogress.ca/membership, and there's some testimonials on that page, and they're all from current members. And that's probably just the best thing to do. Okay, thanks for being here. I think I'll be back next week, and then I'm, to end this season, and then I'm going to take a 3-week break. All right, see you. Till next time. Oh, make peace with messiness to make space for joy.